Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here without Sarah Powers today because I am doing our monthly Voices interview, where we talk with someone that we think is really going to help our listeners with some area of their lives or just has an interesting story to tell. And today I'm talking to Colleen Curtis, who's head of community at the Mom Project, which is an organization that's dedicated to building better workplaces for moms and helping mothers remain active in the workplace while really acknowledging our need for flexibility and respect in that role as a mom, particularly in the early months and years of motherhood. We got great questions from our community about everything from taking sick time and maternity leave to getting hired while pregnant and, of course, pumping. We got so many questions about pumping. We're going to get to those. We're going to take a quick sponsor break, and then we'll jump right into the interview with Colleen from The Mom Project.
We are welcoming a brand new sponsor today, and it's one of my very favorite brands for babies because their car seats kept all 3 of my infants safe and comfy when they were little.
Yes, we're excited to partner with Kiko this month to update you on all the latest in car seat safety best practices and to tell you about a few of their top-rated car seats, plus save you 20% on your next car seat.
I've been a fan for more than 12 years, Megan, but I guess I've been pronouncing the name incorrectly. But thanks to working in audio, we get to clear that right up. It's Kiko, but if you've been saying Chico in your head like me, don't feel bad. Either way, these car seats are designed with parents in mind, with all kinds of little details that not only keep your kids safe, but also make all that getting in and getting out of the car easier. I just did a little quick math, and with my 3 kids getting in and out of the car a couple of times a day, I've probably spent over 100 hours of my life buckling car seats and boosters.
I mean, just having you say that just brings me back in time. It's just like so much buckling. And how about when toddlers do that like stiff body thing where they refuse to get in their seat or out? Does Kiko have a system to solve that?
I mean, they're probably working on it, honestly. But they do have some great new products out, including the NextFit Zip Max, which is a convertible car seat, meaning you can use it for infants on up, and it's made for extended rear-facing use, accommodating kids in the rear-facing position up to 50 pounds, and get this, with 25% more leg room. I'm also looking at the GoFit Plus booster because I am a stickler about my younger 2 still using boosters. This one is great because it uses that latch system that comes with your car, but you can release it with one hand and toss that booster into another car when it's carpool time.
That legroom thing is so genius because I swear one of the reasons my little one started to kind of resist the rear facing is because their legs were all buckled up.
Right.
You know, a lot has changed since my kids were in car seats, and I'm really glad that Kiko hooked us up with a child passenger safety advocate, Courtney Berry, who's a great resource and is always available for parents who have questions around car seat safety. She wanted us to remind our listeners that most babies outgrow their infant car seat in height before weight. So this is for all of you with long, lean little ones. Make sure you read your car seat's manual thoroughly so you know its height and weight limits and transition to the next stage seat when your child has exceeded the limits of their current one.
Oh, that's a great reminder. Well, wait until you hear this deal, everybody. Kiko is offering our listeners 20% off a car seat or travel system. This is valid until November 8th. You're going to use the code MOMHOUR at KikoUSA.com. That's KikoUSA.com. And use the promo code MOMHOUR to save 20% off your next car seat or travel system.
Sarah, we've heard from so many listeners that they love sharing the Mom Hour with their friends, and we've heard from others that listening to the Mom Hour feels like a conversation with friends they wish they had in real life.
And we love this because we know from your emails and your comments and from watching you all communicate with each other on social over the years that this is a really special community, and it's full of genuine and thoughtful and really compassionate moms.
Yeah, and we want to help you take that sense of community out into the real world, or the IRL, as we like to call it. So we're really excited to let you know about something we've been working on for a while and that's going to launch soon. It is a Mom Hour podcast club.
I love this.
Me too.
It's going to work kind of like a book club where you'll listen to the same episodes as some of your friends or other moms in your community. And then you'll plan a time to get together and discuss the themes in the episode or just hang out with each other.
We're creating a downloadable kit with everything you'll need to connect with other moms who might be interested, send invitations, prep for the club, and host your group. We're going to keep the cost low so as many moms as possible can bring these conversations into their communities. And if we get a lot of interest, we're going to plan to add more episodes and features in the future.
So to find out more about the podcast club or to get on our mailing list so you'll know as soon as it drops, just visit themomhour.com/club. Again, it's themomhour.com/club.
Hi, Colleen. So glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, Megan. I'm glad to be here.
So we were just chatting about our kids, right? Because yes. It turns out we are kind of neighbors. You live just a couple hours away in Chicago, and you were just here in St. Joe, and your little guy got had some fun in the Whirlpool fountain, sounds like. Yes.
They keep asking to go back.
Yeah, yes. So that
they think it's closer than it is because they slept the rest of the way home.
Well, so. Right. So they got the benefit of not actually knowing what that drive is like. Exactly. But so we have this we have a fountain downtown that kind of, it's a fountain. It's like a big sprinkler, a splash pad, yes. If you will.
Yep.
And every 10 minutes or so, it goes from just kind of mild to wild and these cannons go crazy. And it's always hilarious to watch the looks on little kids' faces when they suddenly are getting totally soaked and sprayed. So.
I think my face, too, because yeah. I had not.
You didn't know it was coming.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, and he's super far away from me. And yeah. Of course, he didn't care.
Yeah. And sometimes if you're like sitting close enough and the wind is just right, you can get soaked. Yeah. Not even being close.
Totally.
So, well, I'm really glad to have you here because we have gotten so many questions from moms about working mom topics. And great. As the head of community for the Mom Project, you are in touch with those moms. You know what their struggles are. So I'm sure, I know I shared with you some of the questions we got on Instagram. I'm sure none of them were a surprise.
No, none of them were a surprise. No, yeah. We hear, a couple different buckets of questions, mm-hmm. Depending on where moms are at within their, journey. But ultimately, like there's some, kind of top questions within each of those inflection points.
So. Yeah. So what I did was organize the questions. We're going to start with the more, general questions that apply to kind of all moms that are in the workplace,
great.
Questions about flexibility and taking sick time and all those things. And then we have some really specific questions about trying to get hired while you're pregnant. We got so many questions when we put a call out on Instagram about pumping, like how do you pump, especially teachers? We heard from so many teachers who were like, literally, how do we do this? So we've got some pregnancy, maternity leave and, pumping questions in the second half, but first we're just going to kind of get into it. I've got a question from Jennifer, and actually I have another question from Jamie, and they kind of go together. So I'm going to read them both.
Okay.
And then we can kind of dig into it. So Jennifer says, when I'm taking a sick day because a kid is sick, should I admit it or pretend I'm sick? Likewise for kids' appointments, do I admit I need all this time for kid appointments or should I just say I have an appointment? I go back and forth with three kids. It's a lot of sick days and a lot of appointments. And being completely honest makes it feel like I'm highlighting the downside of being employing a mom with small children. And then Jamie kind of in the same way says, I have a really wonderful, flexible employer where adjusting hours and working remotely are almost never a problem, but managing the optics around how often I'm using those options with two little kids is tough. I still think my childless or grown and flown coworkers think I'm rigging the system. So I think what's interesting is both of these moms are working within a system that allows for them to take sick day, and yet they still don't want to take it.
Right. And a couple key things came through in those questions, right? Optics. Mm-hmm. Also, I love the term grown and flown.
Me too.
That's hilarious. I'm going to use that. It's really about the optics to other people that you work with. So whether it's your manager or your coworkers or your colleagues, right? And so oftentimes we're also projecting that upon our colleagues and our managers, and they actually don't feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly if you're working within a workplace that seems to be quite respectful of working parents, right?
Yeah.
So both of those workplaces seem to be on the side of the spectrum that is already trying to provide a framework where working parents can thrive, right?
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about optics, I'll go to the first question first with, do I say that my kids are sick? I can only give my personal opinion, and I've talked to a lot of moms in this situation as well. Employers have given people sick days to be sick themselves or to caregive for others that are sick. And so I don't personally believe that the optics of saying, hey, my kid is sick today, so I'm going to be off, is a bad thing, right? Now, it's a personal decision. You could say you are sick. I would play devil's advocate and say, do you want your employer thinking you're sick that much?
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And instead just saying, hey, my kid's sick today. I'm going to be home. My kid was sick the other day. He just started kindergarten. So he's brought home every germ that ever existed.
Yes. We all know that.
And funny. I'm able to stay home with him and he slept for 4 hours.
Right.
And I was able to work. And so, I think being able to be honest and straightforward and just take it for what it is and not not care about the optics? I know that can be really hard. And so I understand there's many factors at play.
Right.
And so I personally would just own up to that. On the appointment front, I don't know that you need to say every, like, I think I just say I'm going out for an appointment. Mm-hmm. And I just leave it at that. No one ever questions it. So don't over explain.
Right. Don't over, maybe the less said, the better in most of these cases. And I think it's funny that like you're going, you know, the one mom is saying she worries that people think that she's rigging the system. And then the other mom is saying, but should I kind of rig the system? Like that, right. It's like those opposite sides. We kind of go in with these assumptions that, that no one, that people are going to be unhappy about what we're doing. And then if we hide it or lie about it or make it feel like something it's not, then it's harder for other moms.
It is,
to be honest. Yeah.
That's an incredible point. And I love that point that you're really paving the way for other moms and other parents to quote unquote parent out loud at work.
Yeah.
I do not hide that I have kids. Obviously I work at the Mom Project. I realize it's a bit of a,
yeah.
a bit of a niche case, but even in my previous roles, was very upfront about that I had kids, but I'm also showing up every single day and putting in 100% at work.
Right.
I do not feel bad when I have to go to a doctor appointment. And ultimately it's about, I think it's about this confidence, right? Mm. That you are doing the absolute best you can. And I know working moms, and I would say by and large, they are doing the best they can at home and at work. Mm-hmm. And so if you can just sit with that yourself and be able to empower yourself to take the time for appointments, you know, take the sick days and say who it's for, I think that becomes a really empowering activity, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, if you're getting the respect from your employer that you deserve as a valuable part of their staff, that shouldn't even come into play. And then I think the optics start to go away, right? Mm. Because more parents come up, more parents get hired, more people that used to be non-parents have kids. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want this culture of respect where people can have a life outside of work.
And that belongs, and that's parents and non-parents.
Yes.
And probably I would feel like if I was looking for searching for an employer, it would be important to me that they were respectful of everybody and everyone's ability to have a life outside of.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting on the grown and flown. So we did a research study about 6 months ago and really looked at what benefits and perks were most important to women. Mm-hmm. And respect is obviously the first one. No surprise. But what was interesting is the grown and flowns, which is what I'm going to call them now, ultimately value the perks that serve those parents that are either, you know, in this acute pregnancy and post-pregnancy phase or with small children. They value those because they know that if those people are valued at work, they will also be valued at work.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it. Yeah.
And so it's really interesting. It was something that we didn't quite expect. I think my nugget here would be the optics that we perceive are not always reality. Mm. And that if you can own your story and what you are, and that, you know, sometimes life is temporarily inconvenient and that's just life.
Yeah.
Then you start to not have that guilt about going to the doctor's appointment or whatever it might be.
Another thing I was thinking about is moms in general, we have this ability to focus in on the one grumpy person in the room mm-hmm. who is kind of negative about our parenting or whatever it is. And then inflate that so that mm-hmm. we think that that is what everyone thinks. And so everybody's going to deal with like, there's no getting away from that. If you work in a workplace with more than like two people, you're going to have that grumpy coworker who maybe is going to raise their eyebrows at you. And it's really hard to not like then think that that means everybody feels the same way.
Yes. Yeah. That's 100% right.
Yeah. So what do you recommend when you're working with employers to, and I know your work encompasses a lot of different aspects of mm-hmm. like the life of a working mom, but you're really working with employers to encourage them to have more family-friendly policies and also working to put those family-friendly employers in front of more moms. Am I correct about that? Okay.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Yeah. So when you're looking at an employer, what looks like flexibility to you? What looks like true mom-friendliness to you?
Yes. So flexibility is this hot topic, right?
Yeah.
And something that I think we work with companies on and that we work with moms on is flexibility is a very large and broad topic, mm. and it means something different to everybody, right? So for example, going back to our last question, that mom is probably fine being at the office, but needs the flexibility to take sick time when she needs it for her kids mm-hmm. and to go on appointments, right? And so we can't have this default of flexibility means 100% remote. I can do the work whenever I need it.
Right.
And some people do need that. And that is what they go after. And those are the types of roles that they really want and need for their lifestyle. And other people are like, you know, flexibility to me means I can come in at 9 after I drop my kids off at school and I can work until 5. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many variations around flexibility. And so I'll go back to this again because I think it's so important. But what we're really negotiating for is respect. Mm. Right. So you as a company value me as a contributor to this company. And ultimately, all of the policies that index under respect, so flexibility, benefits, the perks that come with working at a company, if they are not respected and the culture does not support it, they actually don't mean anything, right? Mm-hmm. So a good example of this is this thing that, you know, startups sort of started and has proliferated is unlimited paid time off. This is the best black and white example of, wow, that seems incredible. I can take as much paid time off as I need. This means as much sick time, as much vacation time, right. All these things. Ultimately, it works incredibly well for companies that really respect and value that.
Yeah.
It works incredibly the opposite way for companies that don't.
Yeah.
So it's really like, hey, just give me a crappy PTO policy that right. I know I can use.
Right.
Right. And so it really comes down to respect. And so when we're working with employers, and oftentimes they're struggling to retain working parents. They're struggling to bring on more women. They don't know sort of where the pitfalls are. We'll go in and work with them on an analysis of where their biggest drivers and their biggest impact can be. And sometimes that's in flexibility and what that looks like for them. And then we work on how does that impact over time with retention and loyalty and some of these other things. And so what I think is so interesting about that is, for women, it's what does flexibility really mean to you? And so I use myself as an example. Like, I do not want to have to commute more than 30 minutes each way. Mm. In Chicago, that's like not always a given.
That's hard, yeah.
And I need to be able to take my kids to doctor's appointments. And I want to be at the stuff that's at kindergarten. And it's just something that I need. And ultimately, I turned down some jobs where I didn't feel like the respect was going to be there. And I didn't feel like I could bring my full self to work. And so getting really clear about what I wanted from a place I was going to devote, you know, 40 to 50 hours of my life every week to was really important for me. And that getting clear on that and then understanding that it evolves over time is really interesting. Because I think sometimes we're like, okay, I know what I need. And then you have a baby or you have a second baby.
It's
or
like, I need something else.
Kindergarten. Right, and now I actually need something else. And so ultimately you want to find an employer that is respectful as life, you know, life changes. And the companies that do that do really well. And the companies that are slow to adopt have struggled.
So that totally made me think of a company that I worked for where the PTO looked really generous, but no one ever got to take it.
Right. So right. Like okay.
Great. There was always some last minute project or some reason like, no, and yes. It was people would get called back sometimes like on their PTO. And so I would just be thinking like, this is one of those things that looks fantastic on paper. Right. And maybe in the interview and the culture is so good, but then when you actually dig in, so I guess my question for you, like the follow-up would be, are there red flags? Are there things to look for in an interview or questions? Like how specific should you be about your current needs? Do you do that in the interview? Do you wait till an offer?
We recommend people do it as the interview progresses, okay. Right? I wouldn't necessarily say it's important at the screening point, right? But ultimately as you move forward in the conversations, the dynamic should really flip to us interviewing the company, right? And that can be done in a very, you know, diplomatic and effective way without it feeling like we're flipping the table entirely, right? What's happened is we get into this mode where mentally we're like, pick me, pick me, pick me. And it's like, of course, we want the job that is right for us. But ultimately, like when you can take some of that power back, and really evaluate, like, is this the company I want to spend my time with? Like, then it becomes, and it can be about the job itself, right? Like, what are the real roles and responsibilities? Like, where am I going to make an impact within the organization? That's really important. You want to be doing rewarding work that you care about. And then ultimately, like, is this a culture I want to be part of? And I think, you know, speaking to the direct manager and speaking to, you know, if you can back channel any feedback, it's also something we recommend as you start to get closer to an offer. But really asking about specific examples of how the culture supports working parents. And I know that that can be a very scary thing because we've been taught to hide the fact that we're parents in interviews.
Yeah.
but I don't want to work for any company that would be scared by that question. So if they are scared by that question, see ya.
Right. Like,
I don't want to work here anyway. Because like what we've said before, if your company is not down with supporting caregivers of working parents, like who are they down for?
Yeah.
Like, nobody that has any life outside of work. And that's probably not a culture that really supports people in various life stages.
And you're really doing, by being so specific, you're really doing them a favor too, because there are resources that go into a new hire and you don't want to be the one that leaves after 2 weeks or 6 weeks.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Right. Like, oh, wow, this is not what I was promised.
No. Right.
I mean, and if they can't give specific examples of things they're doing, and it's okay if they're not perfect, right? Like, hey, you know what? We realized that we really needed better employee resource groups for working parents. Mm-hmm. So we've kicked off this program, and, you know, they'll start to be able to talk about forward momentum and welcome you to join in that, right? As opposed to acting irritated that you're even talking about it.
Yeah.
That's probably a red flag that I would not say is going to be a good fit.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately you've got hiring managers and, you know, recruiters who are potentially quite junior in these conversations. And if culturally the values have not been trickled down to them and they cannot articulate the value prop of working there for people who are not single and 25, then that's also a flaw.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, we work with companies. I mean, it's a fairly nuanced thing to get right, but when they really put some effort against it and invest in it, I mean, they reap the rewards, right? They keep incredibly talented people in seats and then also are able to recruit far better talent.
I love that. Let's talk about the double-edged sword that this flexible, this idea of flexibility can sometimes be. You brought up the whole unlimited PTO and how that can be amazing or like awful. But another one that comes up is, you know, with great flexibility comes great accessibility. And so there is this feeling that we need to be on all the time. We got a question from Stephanie who said, I have a fairly flexible schedule and a very understanding boss, but I also work with people on East and West Coast daily. So the time difference is a factor. Curious how to keep up while still being present with my family when I'm home. And so it doesn't sound like this is coming from her boss. It's maybe a little more internal or client driven, but still, it still is, right?
Yes. Yeah. I have some personal experience with this. I took a job in London and worked for an HQ in San Francisco. So it's a 9-hour time difference.
Yeah.
And so it was a forcing function to become very, very strict about the working time. Right.
Yeah.
So for me, my sacred time is that morning from when my kids get up until they go to wherever they're going, school, daycare, nanny. And then after work, right? So it's, let's say it's 5:30 to 9 and probably beyond that. Let's get real. and that you are very clear about when you work, right? So I work between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Central Time. And your clients and your company will adapt, right? Unless there's some need, right? And you're willing to jump in, of course. But like having that those edges be blurry at all times is a recipe for a disaster, right?
Yes.
Because you just, I know, because I worked remotely before I had kids and I would literally work from the moment I got up until the moment I went to bed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have kids at the time. Now I know what real work-life balance has to look like.
Yeah.
And so I've become so efficient and productive.
Right.
And so I think, again, it's the optics, right? She's worried about the optics. How does this look? I'm not available. And it's just like, you're just not available.
Then. Right.
Like most of us are not working on in emergency rooms where our work saves lives daily. Right. And so I, even with my own team, will say, listen, like, you work when you work, and I have really high expectations, and we have really high standards, and we work really fast. But when we're off, we're off. Mm. And well, I have all different time zones as well. And I think ultimately, like, our companies and our clients are not going to do that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. Right? Like, your company, like, great, you want to work 12 hours a day? Like, we'll take it.
Yep.
And so you have to be the one that sets those parameters. And I think when you can get to a place where you're feeling really productive again, and it's about, I'm feeling really confident in my work that I put in those 8 or 9 hours a day. And then when I'm off, I'm off. And I think that comes with this experience and then with doing it. And something I do with myself that an old boss of mine used to do with me was, what is the worst thing that could happen?
I love that's exactly thinking. Yes. Like you said, we're not working in emergency rooms, most of us.
Most of us aren't. Those hours are also terrible. Those I don't have a response for. But yeah, like what is the worst thing that could happen? That a client emails you at 7:30 p.m., you know, East Coast time, and you're offline.
Right.
And you get back to them the next morning, like they'll learn that you're not going to reply to them immediately all the time. And, you know, ultimately that takes a little bit of, you know, training.
It's discipline. And you do have to teach people how how to treat you and what your availability is. And one possible solution for that, for the because I also work with people on both coasts. And what I personally did, because what I found was like people were, I was just setting appointments all the time. So like I would accommodate West Coast people whenever. And finally I thought, well, what if there's just one evening a week that I say, I'll just work a little bit, like 1 hour block or something. That's it. That's like what you get, or you get me during regular hours. But, and it kind of felt like a little compromise. Like I was giving a little bit, but not too much. And sometimes like, and then I have control, like, and then I control the rest of my evenings. And that felt really good. And I think that's what you're saying. It's like you set the parameters and then other people.
Yeah, you set the parameters. And if your boss comes back to you and is like, listen, it's just not working, then you can adapt. Right. Like, hey, okay, maybe I start early and I end early.
Right.
But like ultimately, it's not just going to be like, I'm remote, so I'm on call at all hours.
Right.
Like, that's absolutely not the future of work.
No. And just because you have email doesn't mean you have to check it and answer it.
Or text. Those days where it was like you left your office. Right. And that was it.
Yeah.
I'm not that old, but.
No, I know. But like, it hasn't been that long since things have ramped up, because it's really been social media that's made it even like there's so many ways people can access you.
Oh, my gosh.
From any platform. And some of them you use for personal stuff. And
I know. That should be our next startup, is just combining all of the modes into one portal. so I don't have to check.
And then filter out the stuff you don't want to see after, like after certain hours. Now that would be smart. Like if at 5 o'clock, like all messages stop.
Yep. Yes. On Slack, you can just snooze notifications.
Yes. Yep.
Actually, that's one of my biggest hacks. I do not have Slack on my phone.
Oh, no, that's smart.
And I just won't put it on there.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way.
That is smart. I don't know that I'm ready to give up that much Slack access just yet, but
I know. Well, that's why it's like, if you don't know any better, you're just like, okay. I don't know.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we are going to talk about pregnancy and maternity leave and breastfeeding and all those kind of new mom issues that can be really tricky at work. So we'll be right back. We hear from listeners all the time asking for advice about how to start a podcast. And Sarah, the truth is, if we were starting a show now, there are so many things we do differently because things have changed so much.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Remember how hard it used to be even to record it, then let alone edit it and figure out how to send it out to the world?
Yeah. Like we had no idea what we were doing and it was a mess. And that's why we're so thrilled to tell you about our new sponsor, Messy.fm. Messy is a completely online platform. It is literally all in one, an all-in-one podcasting solution. So not only can you record, edit, and publish your show all in one place, and this is like in your browser, but the platform also offers free music for your intro and this cool tool that you can use to create your cover art if you want. And when you publish your show with Messy, it gets distributed to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify for free. You can also publish unlimited episodes for free. Did I mention a basic Messy membership is free?
I mean, this is amazing. I'm basically jealous of new podcasters. Messy is a really incredible platform. And if you've been on the fence about getting started, I think this is going to push you right on over. Podcasting is just going to continue to grow. And if you feel like you missed the blogging revolution before a few years ago, now's your chance to get in on podcasting. What's really cool about Messy is that it's so easy to use. You could get started creating your own podcast like today without paying a dime, which is amazing, especially since many moms are using podcasts to help further their careers or promote a side business or even as a business of its own, just like we do here at the Mom Hour.
Yeah. And again, that basic level is free. So there's no reason not to give it a shot. Just go to themomhour.com/messy to create a free account. And you can start creating a podcast about your favorite TV show or your knitting obsession or maybe something to support your career, anything you want. And you can start today. Again, that's themomhour.com/messy.
Megan, guess what we did last night? We made homemade stovetop mac and cheese, and it was the easiest and yummiest homemade version I've ever tried.
I love mac and cheese, and I think it is totally underestimated as a grown-up food.
I agree. Why does it always have to be just for the kids? Anyway, it's no surprise that this method worked so well. It came from America's Test Kitchen Kids and their new monthly activity kit called Young Chef's Club. This month's theme is Say Cheese, and the box included a fun card game, a DIY ricotta science experiment, and a blindfold to do a cheese tasting. The kids loved it.
Yeah, and I thought I was an expert on cheese, and I actually really learned a lot from this box. So it was so fun, and we loved last month's taco truck themed box too. What I think is great is that the Young Chefs Club gives families with young kids just a little bit of guidance for spending time together in the kitchen. We've all heard that when kids contribute to family meals, they're more likely to try new foods, but it's not always easy to come up with fun ways to include kids when you're just doing your same old meal plan.
I totally agree. And my kids, who are 6, 9, and 11, have actually taken to working together on these activities, which is really fun to see. The recipes are kid-tested and kid-approved, and you know when the brand behind it is America's Test Kitchen, they're also going to be easy to follow and full of smart tricks. You also get access to America's Test Kitchen Kids' full digital library of recipes when you subscribe to the Young Chefs Club, which is a great perk.
And right now, America's Test Kitchen Kids has a special offer for our listeners. You're going to get 10% off your first subscription box when you go to atkkids.com/themomhour and use the promo code ATKKIDS10 at checkout. Again, to get your kids age 5 and up excited about cooking and eating new things, visit atkkids.com/themomhour and use the promo code ATKKIDS10 to save 10% on your first subscription box from the Young Chefs Club. Okay, Colleen, so we are starting with a very nitty-gritty question here. And I personally knew someone in this position not too long ago. And I thought to myself, gosh, like, how do you do this? So Lauren says she wants advice on getting hired or getting a new job while visibly pregnant. People will try to be positive and tell you it's totally doable. But in my experience, she says, it's very hard, if not impossible, depending on your field. Would love to hear you guys discuss this.
Yes. I won't say that it's super easy.
Right.
I wish that it was, because it should be. I was hired 8 months pregnant at the Mom Project. Again, caveat, I know it's the Mom Project and that is what we do.
Right.
But even when I was interviewing with them, and I was very visibly pregnant, obviously, at 7 months, 8 months, people would ask me, like, oh, are you going to tell them? I'm like, have you seen me? Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to hide it. And in some ways, that's really empowering, because it's just out there.
Right.
Right. It goes back a little bit to what we were talking about earlier. Do you want to work at a company that would not hire you 8 months pregnant? And you probably wouldn't. And listen, like, I, from an employer standpoint, I get it, because I just made an offer to a marketing director to work here, who had given birth a week before. So she's 13 weeks, right? Is the next time she could possibly start. And I'm like, yeah, it's like temporarily inconvenient for me. However, I think she's going to be awesome. And I'm not playing the short game. I'm playing the long game.
Yeah.
And let's be real about it. Our paid leave in the US is not guaranteed. And even our unpaid leave is 12 weeks. So it's like literally 12 weeks is what we're looking at, that, that it's a minor inconvenience, right? For a company. And so I think it goes back to some of the things we were talking about earlier, where it's, you are still interviewing the company. And so not to go in feeling like you are in a vulnerable position and owning your story. And I know some fields are harder than others and are more, you know, aggressive than others with regards to women in general, and then pregnancy on top of it. But I think ultimately being able to get through to them that, hey, listen, like, I know I'm 8 months pregnant. I will be able to start, and then I will be going on maternity leave. I can assure you that when I come back X date, I will hit the ground running, you know, which is still a big thing to commit to, even when you're coming back from maternity leave.
Right.
But ultimately that, you know, this is, you know, people have temporary life inconveniences, and this is one of them for an employer.
Yeah.
And that ultimately what you bring to the table supersedes that.
I like that. And I think that that confidence is kind of what we keep coming back to. Like, go in knowing I am the right person for this job. And if you let me slip away, like, I mean, you don't say this out loud, but like, that's if you go with that swagger. Then,
well, right. And I mean, that is how I felt. It was so interesting, because I, you know, had consulted for a while, and then I had gotten pregnant. I get very sick for, you know, 6 months. And so I really didn't start looking until I was very far along. And you know, pregnancy has this way of humbling you physically, right?
Right.
And I went in and it was just like, well, take it or leave it. Like, you'll get me or you won't.
Right.
And there was a company that I was just like, yeah, they had made me an offer, and I was like, I don't really feel it here. And then of course I was introduced to the Mom Project, and it was a great match. And obviously they're extremely progressive in their approach to working women and parents. But yeah, it is that. It's that confidence. And I know it's just like, it can sound really cliche, but it is when you flip that script and it's like, here's what you're getting. You're not getting a pregnant liability. Mm. You are getting a, you know, 10 years of experience, project manager, software engineer, financial analyst that is going to join your company and add value. You are going to generate revenue for the company, right? Yeah. This is not a charity case when someone hires
you. Right, right. They're not doing you a favor.
It's not just nice. Yes. Like, it's not a nice thing that they're doing. It's like, yeah, great that they've become progressive enough to not penalize people for it. But it's ultimately good for business for them to get it together and figure out how to do this well.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And it, when you were speaking, it just occurred to me, like, a man could go in and be about to become a dad and they would never even know. Oh, and then he could still take 12 weeks of leave, you know?
Oh, so for sure.
Yeah. It, like, we because we're so visible, like, it, yes. because it could so out exterior and external yes. and everyone can see it. It's like, we feel like there's a target on our heads, but we're any new hire is a risk. And yes. yeah. And anybody could be hired and then, oh, guess what? I'm taking leave. It's just.
Yeah. It just is, you know, it is what it is. And yeah. I think you're right. The swagger is important. Even if you have to fake it a little bit and pump yourself up.
Yeah.
Don't apologize for being pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's not, you know, we might call it a disability for insurance purposes here. It is not a disability.
Right.
And it is something that you will come back from and ultimately want to be in the workforce. So
do you have any experience with, or have you talked to moms who, while they're kind of figuring out this whole getting pregnant, hire while pregnant thing, which might create some, might slow the process down, is mm-hmm. doing consulting work or, you yeah. know, working remote. Like, I'm just thinking there might be ways to kind of cobble something together so that you yeah. have something to
That's
look back
That's actually what
at.
I was doing. I had okay. joined the Mom Project originally as a mom on the platform, just looking for kind of short-term project consultant freelance work, really, because I had gotten to this point where I'm like, okay, like, I probably... I'm not going to start somewhere full time and then come, you know, go on maternity leave. And that was what I was doing, particularly as I couldn't really commute and was in a bit of a spot where that didn't make sense for me. And I had picked up some interesting freelance engagements, like, you know, some industries lend themselves better to that. But I mean, ultimately, we are seeing the shift to contingent freelance, you know, quote unquote gig work.
Yeah.
Which is facilitated by this ability to work remotely. The technology has increased incredibly over the last couple of years. And so I think, you know, for people who are looking like, you know what, maybe I just get something until I go on leave and, you know, I have a spouse that works. And so maybe that's not as important, being able to take a, you know, a paid maternity leave. And I'm just going to, you know, make some money until then and then have the mental space to be off.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to job search when I get back. I mean, I've definitely talked to many women who have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that maybe the lesson really here is like, just keep moving, like, yeah. you know, keep getting in front of people, keep looking for those yep. contract gigs. Being pregnant can be tiring, but yes. you're going to want but you're in a place now where you have that freedom because the baby's yeah. still on the inside, right?
Yes. Baby's still on the inside. right. Like, you can kind of, you know, have your wits about you yes. with regards to like what is going to work for you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's just really like getting clear about like what you can handle. Like, I am brought to my knees by pregnancy. I cannot really bring my like full self mm-hmm. into work because of the way I feel physically. And so I negotiated when I started at the Mom Project to work 30 hours a week and, you know, spend 2 days in the office. And I said, listen, when I come back from maternity leave, I will be like Superwoman. When right. I am not pregnant, I feel amazing. I can like pound it out like nobody else. But right now, I have right. to be honest with what I can produce.
Yeah.
And this is what I can do. And it worked great. And it's like, no one even remembers that at
right.
this point.
Because
I've been back
blip.
Now for a yeah. year. They're just like, oh, like, no, like literally someone that works here was like, oh my God, that's right. You went on maternity leave last summer. I'm like, yep.
Yep.
Like, things move so fast. People have short memories. Yeah. Like, 3 months is nothing.
And
like,
people are much less focused on you than you think
yes,
they are. And that's
of course.
True in everything.
It's like that thing where it's like, don't you wish you could go to middle school, back to middle school or high school and realize that nobody cares about anyone else. They only care about themselves.
Exactly.
You're always thinking that they're thinking about you and they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's similar, right?
Oh,
the
I love
optics
it.
And, you know, kind of projecting our stuff on people. So.
Yeah, I love it. Well, let's talk about that maternity leave. I have two questions. Yeah. One's from Rebecca and one's from Natalie, and I'll just read them both. So Rebecca says her issue is losing years of my career path while taking time off for maternity leave. No consideration for the time off when it comes to raises, end of year reviews and promotions. How mm-hmm. can a mom on maternity leave stay relevant in their workplace and still enjoy their leave? And then Natalie says, and then how to have that conversation about scheduling when you come back. Mm-hmm. She's got a 6-month maternity leave. She said, it feels like it's asking too much to be gone that long and then wanting scheduling accommodations upon return. So like those are kind of two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, we've heard from those people that really get great paid leave. Ultimately, when they come back, it's like this catch 22, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh gosh, I can't ever ask for anything again, which is not true.
Right.
I think ultimately, if you have a company who's willing to give you 6 months of paid leave, which is at this point, probably the best we see out in the market. I think that's a culture that will support what you need to come back and really thrive. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we actually have worked with a couple of companies who offer incredibly great paid leave like that on the ramp back period, because that's where we were finding they were losing a lot of people. So for example, you maybe work at a big four consulting company. They've learned through data that giving great paid leave keeps people at work, but they were still losing people. And ultimately it was because the ramp back period was too aggressive and people were just not able to make the transition back to work one that worked for them. And so they were giving away all this leave, and then the people were leaving anyway. And so ultimately they worked on what does that ramp back process look like? And now they're able to retain a lot better.
I love that. And again, just like that, keeping in mind, like asking for them to accommodate you or asking for a schedule that's flexible means you can do better work. And ultimately it's good for the company. Like this
always the cost to replace these people far exceeds your need to leave at 4:30 every day.
Right.
I mean, and so if you're able to, and I think, you know, we get that question a lot, like, how do I parlay this to my manager? Like, I don't know. And ultimately it's just like really getting clear on what you need and that breaking down what that schedule accommodation or that flexibility is and being really clear about how that allows you to do your best work. And that you foresee that it will be, you know, I even think coming back in those months from like when you first come back from maternity leave through the baby is about a year old, it's a bit chaotic, right?
Right.
Like you're just kind of getting your footing. The baby is young. They maybe aren't sleeping. When the baby hits a year, by and large, most cases, people are feeling a lot better physically and emotionally. The kid is sleeping.
Right.
The routine is set up. You probably can kind of flex back into like, hey, I travel a little more, or I'm able to work a little bit later because the schedule is, you know, is working for everyone. And so helping the managers understand what they can do to make sure that you can perform at your best is translating how it wins for them, right?
Yeah.
So I think ultimately what happens is we go into a lot of these conversations and we're a bit emotional and vulnerable because we need an accommodation and that's a hard thing to ask for. We've been taught not to ask for anything. And then we get stuck in this messaging that's all about how what we need.
Right.
And not connect the dots back to them of like, and this is going to allow me to hit all of my goals, be more productive and be a top performer on your team.
Yeah.
Managers need to have those dots connected because otherwise they feel like they're just giving it away as opposed to what is the result.
Yeah.
So that's the second question. The first question was around
like losing out on things like raises and opportunities. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So we hear this all the time and it's shocking because you're only out for 3 months.
Right.
It's not like you're gone for a year. Like we live in Canada or Sweden. And then I can see how people sort of it's like out of sight, out of mind. But anyone who's covered a maternity leave for someone else is like, oh my gosh, you're back already. Look, I mean, it literally feels like you're barely gone. But what can happen with the timing is you might miss end of year review. You might miss some kind of salary approval process type of conversation. And so ultimately, I think for this, what makes the most sense is that you really have to build these allies before you go out, right? And so that could be your direct manager. That could be, you know, a peer that you really trust, someone on your team, if you're a high level manager, to keep you and be your ally and your confidant at work, right?
Okay.
So I don't think that people should be their phones blowing up while they're on maternity leave about work stuff. But ultimately, I think women do want to be looped in by a very trusted conduit into the organization about when things are happening or conversations that need to happen to move things forward, right?
Yeah.
I don't think managers should be calling women while they're still in the hospital. but, you know, if someone's out and it's like, wow, this salary review thing's happening and you're back in 3 weeks, could we jump on the phone and talk through what that looks like for you so that when right. you come back, you haven't missed it? But ultimately, we have to take ownership of that. Not that I think we should have to, but I think it makes good business sense to have these conduits that flag conversations and that you make it really clear before you go out with your manager, hey, listen, I'm still very ambitious and I still want to have these opportunities. So while I'm out, I would love for you specifically to keep me posted about how these things develop.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like this is terribly time consuming. We're just talking about being intentional and having like almost strategically yes. set up so that you can spend a couple of hours, you know, taking care of like just staying yeah. on the radar. It's good for you and it's just good for everybody. So why not do it?
That's yeah. exactly
right. Yeah. That makes so
That's
much sense.
That's exactly right. And it, you know, no one should be bothered by day-to-day business,
right.
you know, during maternity leave, but ultimately, or to say like, I'm going to be totally offline. And I will say on both of my maternity leaves, I've been totally offline. Mm-hmm. I did have some trusted confidants that I had keep me abreast of anything wild happening. Yes. But that I had set up a meeting with my boss 2 weeks after I came back from leave to discuss my career progression. Mm. And that it was a conversation that was booked 4 months in advance.
Right.
So he knew it was coming. And that we would talk about it. And so that he did not forget about me right. while I was out.
Yeah.
He didn't forget about me because he realized how much work I was doing when he had to take it over.
But, yeah.
which is also kind of an eye-opening thing for your manager. Yeah. And so I think that's being intentional and owning how that comes about and not expecting or I guess, yeah, not expecting that those conversations will just come without a little bit of nurturing.
It feels like there's a different, we're like drawing the distinction between the day-to-day work of your job, which you're taking a break yes. from, and the managing of your career, which is yes. is kind of your responsibility. And so those are two separate things. Like,
yes.
yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Like, don't email me about the board of directors meeting.
Right. but if I'm going to miss out on something, let me know. Right.
Yeah. Like, but yeah. if there's like a new project or big opportunity that I could be the best candidate for, please call and talk to me about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap up soon, but I have to say we got like probably 17 questions about pumping.
Yes.
And it's so funny because like so many employers have put in these pumping rooms and I do feel like a lot of it was a PR move and it looks really great, but it's kind of like the PTO. Does it make any sense to have a pumping room that no one can use or that too many people need to use at once or whatever? So
yes.
I'm wondering like what you hear from moms about that, what your experience has been, and if you just have any suggestions for navigating that.
That is the right analogy. Yes. Super fancy pump rooms. Now, with my first child, I pumped in a supply closet. And that was not that long ago, 5 years ago. With my second one, when I came back to the Mom Project, we had a pumping room. I also had, you know, pretty full autonomy over my schedule and took many phone calls from the private pumping room. I only had to battle one guy that was trying to meditate in there once.
Oh my gosh. That
he
so
did
funny.
Not work at our company. We worked in a co-working space.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's a great story. No, don't mess with a mom that needs to pump if exactly. you're trying to meditate. Other moms, yes, fully supportive of that. I think it comes down to the same thing. It's respect, right? So yeah. it's we have these great perks and we have this beautiful pumping room and we put it all over, you know, whatever industry publication would cover it. And look how progressive we are, which is great. It's a good start, right? It's a private space. I feel for the teachers and nurses who don't have that type of private space yet, although required by law that you do have a private space that is not a bathroom to pump
right.
in. Don't pump in the bathrooms.
Just don't do
it. We are better than that. Yes. But ultimately it's about respect. And what we hear a lot from moms is exactly what you're talking about with, oh yeah, that would be great. Except for I get booked back to back to back to back for 6 hours at a time,
yeah.
which does not allow me to pump. And so ultimately, again, it goes back to having to advocate for yourself, work with your manager, be confident that this is a protected thing by law. You have the right to pump at work. And you need to block out the time for it. A way I dealt with it personally was that I would schedule things with colleagues who knew I was pumping because the noise can be strange. You know, one-on-ones with my team, things that I could do from the pumping closet, I used to call it, that weren't disruptive to my work.
Yeah.
And that I was able to do. And so being able to gain autonomy over what you do in that 30 to 45 minutes when you need to be in that, you know, pumping space, and that your managers and teammates and colleagues respect that. Mm. I think, again, it's a limited amount of time, right?
Right.
It's a temporary critical pain point, though, that if you can, you know, say like, hey, listen, I want to be involved. I want to do this. You know, at 11 and 3 every day, I'm going to need this hour, and I'm going to either work independently, you know, do email, whatever it is, respond to things, or I'm going to take calls that are with our remote teams, and that's how I'm going to spend those times. And then it's just basically like you cannot be blocked over.
Right.
And then you just have to advocate for that time and not allow people to trounce over it. I mean, it would basically be like, no, we're not going to allow you to like use the bathroom at a time that you need to. And it's like,
right.
This is a physiological need. There is no bumping it out.
Right. Exactly. Hours. Well, and let's be honest here. I mean, a lot of organizations are, and people within those organizations are just meeting happy, and they want to, mm-hmm. they love going, nothing more than going in your schedule and adding stuff to your calendar. And whether mm-hmm. you're pumping or have to use the bathroom or like want to eat lunch or whatever, like you have to own a part of that count and say no. And the first time you decline that meeting or say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not available, I think Lise said sometimes is better. It's mm-hmm. scary. But then like once it's been done once, it's like usually not a big deal.
Yeah. And like what's the worst thing that can happen? And there might be things that truly are critical, right? Like your boss really needs to meet with you. Okay. Once in a while you can accommodate. But like having to just accommodate everyone all the time, like just won't work for you at this very specific period of time. I will also say for me, it was like a mental health break because it was the only time literally all day that I was alone.
Yeah.
Like I have little kids at home. I have lots of people running around needing things at work. And it was like those two times a day that I could feel a little more space physically mm-hmm. from people helped me be really productive. And so, again, I think it's truly advocating for yourself and understanding that the motherhood supports you. You are doing a service for future moms coming back from maternity leave at your company. It does make a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, like, I don't know many people who enjoy pumping, right?
Right.
It's not like this exciting thing that people love doing. We do it out of necessity, and we do it, you know, as a way that we feel strongly about feeding our babies, and that desire should be accommodated.
Yeah.
If you are expected to work at an office.
Yeah. And I love that, like, this, all of these things really tie together. It's about the respect. It's about advocating for yourself. It's about realizing that everybody, whether they have babies or not, needs white space in their calendar and needs a break. And like, you're not any different or worse or less committed because you want to be a human. You just happen to have a kid or a baby.
You just happen to have a kid, right? And as working parents, you know, I think there is that trope where it's like, oh, I'm worried my like non-coworkers are mad at me. It's like, they're not actually mad at you.
Yeah.
They also are worried about the optics of when they want to go do something at 5 o'clock and they feel like they can't leave.
Yeah.
Well, great news. You also can leave at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Like, if you have a life outside of work that's important to you, which hopefully everyone does, then own it and go. Like, I wish I had done that more. I didn't have to run home and run a gauntlet of bedtime and dinner. I wish I was, you know, a little bit owned my schedule at that point too. So ultimately, like, a culture that supports working parents and working moms specifically should support all people and their endeavors outside of work.
I love it. Well, Colleen, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun. I want to do this every Friday.
Oh, okay. Let's do it. We can just plan it and put on the schedule, right? I'll put it on your calendar without asking you first. How's that sound?
Okay. I'm not pumping anymore. I'm out of that phase of my life. So.
I do want to add, like, I want to make sure that everyone knows like what the Mom Project might have to offer them, even if you are maybe not working at the moment or kind of easing back into the workforce, or if you're happy with at your job, there's still a community that you might be able to benefit from. So tell us a little bit about that and where to find
out. Absolutely. So originally the Mom Project was founded in 2016 to solve the pain point of how can these highly accomplished professional women tap into opportunities for rewarding work with these companies, right? And so that was originally the pain point that we built the company on. Looking forward, and we still are doing that, obviously, that's the core part of our business. Looking forward, we've realized there's this other pain point, and it's come through all of these conversations we've had with women, whether they're working, you know, in the home or they're working outside the home. We have a mantra, all moms work. And so we're looking at how do we build that support and the network and the resources that these women are lacking, right? We hear it every day. I can't find the right network to get to my next role. I don't understand how to be part of this working world when I've stepped out for a while. And so we're trying to build a community platform that would support women at all stages of working motherhood. And so we have some exciting things coming up. So we're looking at launching that in 2020. And so people, you know, women can join the network right now. You know, you're able to be matched with interesting opportunities, whether you're passively looking or not, being able to join. We're bringing on new employers every day. We just brought on Twitter. I mean, so we've got some really exciting companies that are hiring for incredible jobs, both remote and on site. And then we'll be launching this community very soon. So I would love people to be part of it.
So if they just go to themomproject.com and then click that blue join button in the upper right-hand corner.
Yes.
All right, yep. Ladies, yes. Do it. I just think it's a fantastic and a very exciting time for moms in the workplace. And I just think there's just so many, like, your organization, and I think employers are getting it more and more, and it's just, it's a good time to be where we are. So very exciting. Well, awesome. Thank you again, Colleen, and we will be talking soon. I guess we'll just talk every Friday.
How's that sound? Perfect. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you. Have a good
day. All right. Bye. You too.
Thanks again to Colleen from The Mom Project. I hope everyone will check out themomproject.com, regardless of where you are in your career or if you're taking a break. I just think it's a really great resource, and I'm so thankful that she was on the show with us today. Just a reminder to check out our sponsor, Kiko USA, because you all can get 20% off a car seat or travel system if you use the code MOMHOUR until November 8th. So go to KikoUSA.com. That's KikoUSA.com. And use the code MOMHOUR and you'll save 20% off your next car seat or travel system. Talk to you soon.